Greetings, contrarian a-holes, and welcome to a very special episode of Objection with an exclamation point. Objection, the podcast that is the worldwide leader in contrarian a-holery, brought to you by DVD Verdict and a generous grant from the old white man cabal.
Yes, very generous.
Of course. And tonight, as we record this, the Oscars are on, and neither of us is watching them.
Right, it's I could hear it in the next room. My wife loves it.
Yeah, it's not on in our household, surprisingly. Ah, but
interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a big award show.
It's award shows in general.
Yeah,
even the Golden Globes are such a kerfuffle about Ricky Gervais is ripping everyone, but really, this stuff wasn't even that super cutting edge. You know, he made Mel Gibson jokes, for crying out loud.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, talk about not being able to take any kind of, jabbing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think we should make it clear that we're not here to dump on the Oscars specifically, because I don't watch the Grammys, I don't watch the Golden Globes, I don't watch the, whatever, MTV Video Music Awards, whatever other thing, Tonys. I just don't care. But that being said, this is a movie website. It is, yes, a movie podcast. And so we will do an Oscar-themed show, and in true contrarian a-hole fashion. So I don't know, you want to just dive in? And
let's just go with it. Yeah, let's just do this. Let's just do it up.
So we have a few categories of things that we just thought of. Top of our heads, and had to do a little bit of show prep, I think. This is probably the most show prep I've done in a while.
I liked all of 90 seconds for me. That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll just run through. It's about a half dozen categories, and just sort of be our normal contrarian a-hole selves. Do we need to introduce ourselves, you think? Do we have new
lists? Oh, I don't know.
Because we didn't really do that.
Yeah, that's true.
I am Judge Dan Mancini. With me, as always, is Judge David Johnson.
Well done. Nice.
This podcast was, just as background, was initiated by a Facebook conversation about Predator 2 and our shared love of it. So that should tell you about where we land in terms of Oscar winners and what.
A movie unfairly slighted for its own Oscar.
Not even nominated.
Not even that.
I don't understand.
Crime.
So the first thing we're going to kick around is the least deserving Best Picture winners in the entire history of the Oscars.
Yeah, and I mean, and obviously there's a lot to choose from, and people lament these, so I'm not sure how contrarian this will be, but we'll be a-holes about it anyway.
Yeah.
So we'll see if we can find a little edge to it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to try to pick one that's as contrarian as possible.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I even thought about being so contrarian that I was going to pick Gone with the Wind.
Oh, but
that movie was so popular that I couldn't go that far. It's not one of my
favorites.
Well,
I'll go with a layup. So I'll kick it off with a layup, okay. Then. I'll let you do the heavy lifting.
All right, cool.
So, and this isn't a stretch, but it always just, jumped out at me as one that was just a movie that I don't think anyone really cares about anymore. And that's probably the Oscars in a nutshell. A lot of these performances and movies, that no one really cares about going forward. But for me, A Beautiful Mind,
yes,
in that one.
Yeah.
It was an okay movie. It's okay. It wasn't bad, but I mean, who talks about A Beautiful Mind now? Who really cares about it? I didn't even see it on TV.
No. It's like, forgotten about.
It's just forgotten. I'm not saying that you had Gosford Park in the bedroom and Moulin Rouge, and Moulin Rouge is just one sugar high set to music, but Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring was on there.
Yeah.
So, yes, I know Return of the King is kind of they made it up to him, but, I mean, really, that's, which movie, turned movie making on its head? Was it A Beautiful Mind or The Fellowship of the Ring?
Right, right.
So,
And that's a common theme of the Oscars to me, and we'll probably get into this later, but the idea that, a lot of the stuff that wins is pretty much forgotten about.
Yes.
And usually there are some nominated movies in that list that it's like, wow, why didn't that win?
All right. I mean, who talks about Crash,
Exactly.
So, in fact, if The Lord of the Rings had won this year in 2002, then perhaps one of my favorite movies of all time would have been able to win in 2004, I guess, which would have been Master and Commander.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So that way everyone wins. But no, we had to have A Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind.
But the you know, the worthlessness of that was slightly counterbalanced by Denzel Washington winning for Training Day, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool.
And he beat out, you know, he beat out Sean Penn with his Oscar bait I Am Sam performance.
Yeah,
and
Sean, one of the most pretentious
actors
in the entire history.
Absolutely. So if Denzel Washington can win it, playing one of the more badass guys on screen, you know, then I'll take it. So that helped. That helps sweeten it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that. So Crash was definitely on my list.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. It sounds like a movie I would loathe every time
I meet. Yeah, I mean, it's essentially the idea that this would win Best Picture when it's just basically a hectoring ABC after school special on race. It's just unbelievable that won Best Picture. A terrible movie. I had a long list of honorable mentions that included stuff like Forrest Gump and Driving Miss Daisy and Out of Africa and Gandhi, which is I'm surprised I'm not still watching Gandhi, because I felt like when I was watching it that I was going to die before the end of it. And Chariots of Fire and Ordinary People, which I believe won instead of Raging Bull, which is an outrage. Kramer versus Kramer. I was surprised when I was looking at it to see that one. That's a horrific movie. and more recently, stuff like The English Patient and Shakespeare in Love, which are just pretentious.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
God awful. But my winner, I had to go with American Beauty, which I just thought was just as condescending to middle class America as it can possibly be, and in a just a ham-fisted way. And what's worse is it's just a really terrible imitation of John Updike novels. And Updike does it so much better. And the fact that the Academy didn't know this, I think, kind of show, or didn't, you know, recognize that, shows how borderline illiterate most of them are. Because they acted like it was some kind of breakthrough, groundbreaking examination of the American middle class, like nothing we'd ever seen before. And it's like, well, Updike was writing novels about this stuff like 40 years ago. Terrible.
Man, it's like looking through these winners, though, there's some real turds on this list,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Even the nominations, just like, you know, I'm looking at, you know, Good Will Hunting. I mean, again, a nice movie, but really just...
Yeah,
I mean, that's so tedious after a while. Or, I mean, to me, that's when Titanic took it home, and you know, to me, Titanic totally robbed L.A. Confidential.
Yeah, yeah, oh, definitely.
I mean, looking at that list, Titanic, As Good as It Gets, Full Monty, Good Will Hunting, L.A. Confidential. You know, it's like an SAT test. Which one doesn't belong there? You know?
Right. Yeah, Titanic was not anywhere near the top of my list.
That's right. Yeah, American Beauty was that was the same year. Let's see, The Green Mile, a good movie, something I enjoyed. I did enjoy that. I liked The Insider a lot, even though it was, you know, the old white man cabal would not like me for saying that.
Yes.
I've always liked that one. And then The Sixth Sense, that's kind of a joke. So
The Sixth Sense.
But again, just when you're ready to kick the Oscars in the groin, and, you know, Gladiator edges out Aaron Brockovich, thank goodness.
Yeah. Aaron Brockovich is another one that's just, oh, what a terrible movie. But still, you know, Julia Roberts won the Oscar for that. And
right.
And yes. Her performance is just absolutely terrible. I mean, seriously, it is. It's like she doesn't. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to describe, but she plays Aaron Brockovich. Like, Aaron Brockovich was, I'm pretty sure, has a college education, and did at the time, and she plays her like she's some high school dropout who just throws her boobs around to get her way, and and somehow wins an Oscar doing this. I mean, oh gosh, it's awful.
Oh, we could probably burn a whole show just bitching about these. So I guess we can move along here.
Yeah, because I mean, really, you could do a whole show on the stuff that has not, that should have won.
And yeah, absolutely.
You could do like an hour show. Yeah. So next one is worst part of the ceremony. What is your least favorite part of the Oscar ceremony?
Again, probably another layup, but just the red carpet crap beforehand.
Yeah.
Just makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is all just, you know, kind of, you know, look at us, you know, in our pedestals and whatnot. And the red carpet just really boosts that feeling. And I don't know. It's so funny just because I remember a paraphrasing a quote. It's like everyone comes across to be, you know, everyone's trying to be so perfect, you know, in all these interviews, and everyone's sparkling, and it's just, you know, it's fairy tale land. And then I just remember a quote from Trey Parker, Matt Stone once, and I'm paraphrasing, where they said something like, you know, like Hollywood celebrities love to lecture people how to live their lives, but, you know, they're struggling with, like, you know, they say don't smoke, but, you know, they're doing lines of blow and stuff,
right.
You know. So it's like, you know, they put up all this red carpet crap. It's such a facade, and it's just so, I guess it's just the fakeness. It's just so fake to me.
Yeah, the thing that kind of baffles me about the whole red carpet experience is that I just don't get, the fashion world is baffling to me. And it's not that I don't think that fashion designers are talented and stuff. It's the fact that they act like they're Picasso or something. Like they act like
right. The
dresses that they make are on par with stuff that's in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And I'm just completely baffled by that attitude. It's like, it's a dress. You know, I don't get it. And then, the press like viciously tearing apart all the starlets and dudes about what they're wearing. And, you know, oh man, I don't get it. It's like something happening on some sort of alien world to me. My least favorite part of the ceremony is the Bruce Valanche one-liners delivered by presenters reading from teleprompters, and how baffling it is that most actors are, I mean, they're actors. This is
right.
their job, and they
That's
are
right.
spectacularly terrible at reading prepared speeches.
Painfully
and,
awkward.
And even worse at doing impromptu speaking. And it just, I'm always shocked by that, because you would think that, you know, look, they're used to performing in front of a whole crew and, you know, that they could do impromptu speaking and, or at least read a teleprompter, and they're just absolutely terrible at it. So that's my least favorite part. And it's the part that, I mean, it's an awfully large percentage of the show. They have to sit there and painfully watch these morons read from a teleprompter. In a very wooden way, really, really
yeah, I mean,
bad
the
jokes.
The jokes, I mean, yeah, excruciating. Just like come up, take care of business, you know. Or if you have actual comedians, do it. That's another thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Give us a ventriloquist or something, you know. Yeah, give us some entertainment if you're insisting on making it amusing. You know, like have a juggler come out and do it. Just something to watch.
Yeah. Oh man, it's awful.
It is painful.
Painful.
All right.
And I, you know, the other thing was, but this was only a one-time thing, but the old dance numbers, especially when, do you remember when Debbie Allen choreographed the tap dance routine about Saving Private Ryan?
When's the last time? I mean,
that's the most ridiculous thing. You have this movie, you know, that's about the Normandy landing and the horrors of war and everything, and they have a tap dance routine to represent it. And, you know, I specifically remember that. And it's like, how much more absurd and out of touch with reality can it be than a tap dance routine to capture the spirit of Saving Private Ryan?
I can't remember the last tap dancing routine I've seen straight up. Anyway, I mean.
No, that wasn't in, like, black and white.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
I don't hear much about tap dancing these days.
No, but, you know, there you have it. Saving Private Ryan, apparently, in the mind of a choreographer, evokes tap. I don't know. Moving on, I guess. Our next category is the award the Academy would give out if it actually cared about the audience.
Right. Instead of subjecting him to these one-liners and
right
categories that no one really cares about. Though not quite the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards or anything like that, you know?
Right.
Well, let's see. Well, I guess you can get creative. I mean, you can get creative with these things, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if when I say care about the audience, I'm saying caring about me.
Right.
You know, so what would I love to see? And I mean, what about just, you know, like just certain segments? So like funniest, you know, funniest scene or something, you know? So that way you've got five, you know, you could have five categories and five, you know, nominees that offer entertaining value. Like, could you, how great would it be to have in the Oscars, you know, the scene in Naked Gun 2.5 where Leslie Nielsen is saying "I love you" to his vest after swimming
right.
in sewage. You know? So that way, movies that never had a shot of getting nominated get some kind of representation. Stuff that actually entertained us, you know? And of course, you can do that with, like, you know, like best action scene, which I know they do in, like, the MTV Awards or whatever, you know? But there you go. And then you can have, whoa, Merintau from Indonesia had this badass action scene.
Yes, it
so then, you know?
Many
so
of
then you're just getting representation from stuff people actually care about.
Right, right. Yeah, and along those lines, I went with, I didn't come up with an actual award. I just think that the Academy should behave less like contrarian a-holes. They just stubbornly seem to pick stuff that they know everybody hates in order to make themselves feel, you know, wiser and more sophisticated,
yes.
I guess. But it's like I'd be much happier if I lived in a world where, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Star Wars and, you know, stuff like that had won Best Picture. Raging Bull, Apocalypse Now, you know. All of those movies had won Best Picture. And, you know, the thing is, if they went, the ironic thing is, if they went with, or maybe not ironic, paradoxical, if they went with popular taste more, they would probably, like I was saying, you know, just listing off those movies, they would end up awarding more movies that actually stand the test of time. And that, you know, I just looking through that list of award winners that we were talking about earlier, how many of those movies do people have people just totally forgotten?
Right. No, absolutely.
You know, and there's always movies in there that were more popular at the time and that are still better remembered and beloved now. And, you know.
Although it does swing both ways because.
Yeah, I mean,
once in a while, it works to our advantage in the fact that we're spared from Avatar winning Best Picture.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So, although
yeah, I mean
the Hurt Locker
a,
is genuinely bad, awesome, you know.
Yeah, yeah, so, it's not,
but still, we
yeah,
are.
I mean, it shouldn't generally just be a popularity contest, but
that's right.
But you know, going out of your way to avoid stuff that people like.
Yes.
You know, I can almost guarantee that tonight the King's Speech will win because it's about foppish English people. And that always wins, no matter what, you know. Our next one was the worst speech.
Okay, so much to choose from. Mine was, and we brought him up already, but when Chris Rock hosted.
Yes.
2005, I guess. Was that 2005? He hosted, and he was he took some shots at Jude Law. Remember that? He
yeah.
was like, "Who's Jude Law?" You know. And then Captain Humorless himself, Sean Penn, walks up a couple segments after, and just brings the festivities to a crashing halt. You know, by saying, "I know Jude Law. He's a fantastic young actor."
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, it was brutal. I mean, come on. That really summed up why I hate the Oscars so much. Everyone's just so self-absorbed, you know. And even Ricky Gervais takes some idle shots at people. It's just knickers in a twist completely.
Right. And I mean, if that's how self-absorbed the guy who played Spicoli is, imagine the people who are just straight-up serious actors their entire careers. It just boggles the mind. But yeah, I mean, that's a, oh, that was awful. Just awful.
Yeah. painful.
Mine was going back quite a long way, but I have to go with the 1972 Oscars with Marlon Brando sending Sachin Littlefeather to accept, or actually not to accept, to pass over his Oscar for Best Actor for The Godfather. And she was an American Indian civil rights activist. So he, for whatever, I don't remember what his reasoning was for deciding not to accept the award, but, you know, when you send somebody else dressed in full Apache garb to decline the award, then that is like the apex of a-holery, I would say.
You know, and for, and I guess for Lifetime Achievement Award, it has to go to George Clooney, you know, for his acceptance speech in 2006, I think.
Yeah.
For Best Supporting Actor in Syriana, which, again, the South Park guys lampooned with a smuggler,
right.
You know.
Right.
I was like, you know, we were the first to do this, you know. Yeah, great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
be proud to be out of touch, you know.
Right, exactly. And I, you know, I will say this while we're on the on this subject. One that I don't think is that big a deal is the Cameron "I'm King of the World" moment. You know, a lot of people made a big deal out of that, and you know, he's just quoting the movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big a deal. I mean, he is an arrogant a-hole.
The only thing,
quoting the movie. It's not like he just wrote that for his speech.
the only thing lame was right after it. He said, "Moment of silence." Like, it's right after, right before that. He said, "Let's have a moment of silence."
Right.
So I kind of cheapened it. Yeah. And then I'm the king of the world. So yeah, he can say whatever he wants to, but it's just like, I don't know, juxtaposition didn't sit well.
Yeah. That's true. If you call for a moment of silence, then you can't raise your arms, you know, like 10 seconds later and declare yourself king of the world. And our final topic. So we're closing in. This is not going to be a 3.5 hour show like the Oscars themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is what would be a more amusing way to shoo winners off the stage? Because we know that they all talk longer than they're supposed to. Because, you know, Lord knows we're all interested in hearing them thank Key Grips and their, you know, representation and all that kind of stuff, right? So a better way than just firing up music and hoping that
that's right. As soon as someone starts getting into talking about Wisconsin or you know Afghanistan, this is what you would do to get them out of there,
right? Exactly. What would your
two words, my friend? The prestige.
There you go.
And you're going to have just a whole collection of those water bubblers underneath.
Well, I had two, and one of them is very similar. So I think the Prestige is probably going to end up being the winner because it's closest to one of my two, which was Trapdoor.
Yes.
My first one, just, you know, get them out of there quick. My other one, which was a little bit more flamboyant and probably entertaining for the crowd at home, was just setting loose a ravenous bear.
It's good. I like that. Or you could have one of the stuntmen from Spider-Man turn off the dark, swing in and grab them, and then they fall to their death or something because the props are so awful. Or like a catapult, you know, some kind of spring-loaded catapult would be good.
That would be awesome. That would be perfect. Maybe an explosion of some kind.
Some kind of explosion.
I do like the Prestige, though.
I think ratings would go up huge.
Yeah, just with the threat of the Prestige, ratings would go up. You know, I would be watching right now wondering who's going to get the Prestige. And more importantly, will it be Sean Penn?
Yeah, I think it is time for Sean Penn to get the Prestige for sure. If he wants Prestige, he will have the Prestige.
That's it. That's all we.
That is it. Yes.
Short, yeah, even, sweet. You know,
even taking a dump on the Oscars is still annoying.
Yeah, I mean, it really took a lot to motivate ourselves to do this. I mean, obviously, we waited until 8:30 at night to even record the show because I think we've both been dreading it all day, knowing that we had to do something right. Oscar related. You know,
yes.
We came up with a couple of non-Oscar ideas of things we could do, but it was like, we got to do an Oscar show. There's no way around it. So hopefully our lack of enthusiasm didn't come through, you know, too much into the show. But that's it for another episode of Objection. I think we'll wrap this up, and you know, I'm not going to know about any of the winners, I guess, for the real Oscars until tomorrow morning when I wake up and hear that Colin Firth won and The King's Speech won,
right,
and, you know, various other British people won.
All I know is that if I were ever to be lucky enough to get an Academy Award, you can hold this to me right now. I will go up on stage and I'll just take the award and turn to the crowd and say, thanks, 10 points easy.
There you go. That's perfect. You know, I will always... I was admired when Miles Davis won. I think it was a Lifetime Achievement Grammy. That was his... It was in the 80s when he had the very raspy voice. And his entire acceptance speech was, thanks. And then he walked off.
That's bad. He was so close on it really being perfect.
Right. All right. You know, leave it to an old jazz man.
That's
do
right.
The right thing. But that's it. Anything else? Is it? Well, no, I guess you already said it.
I already said it. So let's go watch Predator 2, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. We're out.